It's time for JT the Brick.
Let's go. Let's pick up the pace. There are high expectations for this team. The Raiders have an established offensive line. You might not love it, but Colt Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James. We got some big dudes today. Who's going to start that first game? Aiden O'Connell, one. Gardner Minshew, two. I want the ball out. I want the ball out quickly. I want slants. Will the ball get out? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, out.
JT the Brick.
And in the last regime, we took too much time in between plays for no apparent reason. We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. He is a gift from the sports gods handed to us in Vegas. If Bowers comes in with 73 receptions and 11 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, that changes everything. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me.
And now,
get him the ball.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour number two on Raider Nation Radio as we are live as the flagship in Costa Mesa. You just heard Antonio Pierce speak, and I thought he had a lot to say. We'll cut up a little bit more of it later in the second hour if you missed it in the first hour here. Very optimistic, obviously. All coaches are. All these coaches are speaking today as training camps are opening up, and they're all pretty excited about their teams and what they have to look forward to. Right in front of him, for Antonio Pierce, just getting here, being in Southern California where he grew up, you could tell he's got a little bit of an extra juice today because this is the situation that he dreamed of as a great player, a Super Bowl champion, and a leader, the opportunity to lead this team on his own as the head coach, the de facto head coach, not the interim head coach, and have an opportunity to do that closer to where he grew up. I think it's going to be a good camp. It sounds good. We'll be hearing from him throughout camp. And other days there'll be players, and certain players they'll speak, mostly the quarterbacks, as you heard. Probably the first 4, 5, 6 minutes of that press conference was exclusively about the quarterback position. You know where I stand on this topic. I believe Aiden O'Connell has the edge coming into Costa Mesa. I don't know what will happen at the end of practice in the preseason. I hope it's spirited. I hope it's a difficult decision. It might be a very easy decision. If Aiden O'Connell plays better than he played last year, and at times he played well. If he's clearly the number one, he's going to get an opportunity to be the starter probably for multiple games. If it's close, if Gardner Minshew wins that in camp in the preseason, how much time would Gardner Minshew have to be the starter here? I don't think the one thing you don't want to see early on is one guy getting benched, another guy playing, the other guy getting benched, coming back and forth. You don't want to see anything like that. You want to see the quarterback who has the best preseason hold on to that job, hopefully not get injured, and get comfortable in that position with the offensive players, the receivers, especially the tight ends, the running back, the coverage, and all that. I don't know how this is going to play out, and most NFL insiders don't. I saw yesterday they were ranking some of the top storylines at NFL Network. Raiders quarterback controversy or competition was at the top of the list. So we're going to see more and more of that, and I thought the insiders who were there today did the right thing. Open up the press conference with the most important topic, and the most important topic is quarterback. Remember, this was an organization that did not want Justin Fields, did not want Russell Wilson. They both went to Pittsburgh. This was an organization that was not able to trade up and get Jaden Daniels and go get Michael Penix Jr. and make some moves moving up because it looked to be very costly and expensive. They're going to stick with these two guys. Now, another topic that wasn't explored much in that opening press conference that will be is what about the Raiders and the cap space that they still have available to possibly go out and get another player? For me, that would be a starting cornerback, a corner when it comes down to cut day. So when it comes down to cut day, if some of these other teams, as they cut down their rosters, there could be a player that's better than most of the Raider cornerbacks who become available. And maybe Tom Telesco is able to pull that off. But I want to get some reaction from the first hour of the show. It was mostly Antonio Pierce who spoke. And what does your gut feeling tell you about this coach as he hits the ground in Costa Mesa ahead of practice tomorrow? What do you want to say to Antonio Pierce? You just heard him speak. What do you want his goal to be here just in training camp, not for the regular season? As he said, he's not going to win every game. He's not going to go undefeated. But as he said, he wants to be consistent. And they were pretty consistent on defense down the stretch last year. They were consistent as a team that played smart and didn't have a lot of penalties. They weren't that consistent on offense. You can't go from scoring 0 points on a Sunday to 63 points on a Thursday and call that consistency. But they did some good things down the stretch, and I think that's something to build on. I'm optimistic, as I am every year at training camp, because normally the team is always better. I've been here for some four-win teams, five-win teams, six-win teams. The Raiders coming off eight wins, which I think should have easily been nine last year, that could have led to 10. They got to do better than that. And the only way they're going to do better than eight games, and most people don't think they will, because the Vegas insiders and the bent noses, the handicappers, have the season win total at 6.5. The way they're going to be able to do it is they're going to have to be more explosive. We know the defense is good. The offense has got to catch up to the defense. And without any practices against other teams, you know, I love those padded practices against other teams because you see a lot. I mean, I remember the one, Devontae, just tearing up New England. And I remember being on the sidelines with Eric Allen with that one saying, wow, look at the team on offense and what they're able to do. But we're not going to see the joint practices this year. Some people like it, some people don't. I like it. I like to see a good, solid day against a team like the Cowboys or the 49ers going up against their ones. That's not going to happen. So the offense is going to go up against the ones on the defense, and this defense is good. You got to go up against Malcolm Kuntz, Christian Wilkins, Mad Max Crosby, Big John Jenkins, Tyree Wilson, Robert Spillane, Diablo, the rest of this team, Nate Hobbs moving around in the slot. This offense is going to be battle-tested. So Antonio Pierce spoke. We want to hear from some Raider fans today, 702-365-9200, and what you believe after hearing what he said today. And he didn't give us much. He gave us, you know, what he thinks. We're going to have a spirited competition. We're going to play fast. We're not going to start off slow. They're going to have a big, big takeaway for me. Everyone's going to play in the preseason. Good news. That's what the coach should say when you're a team that didn't make the playoffs. All right, it's time for our countdown of the top 10 games in Raiders history, according to our list here. This is just my show on Raider Nation Radio. Let's get to it, Bobby, as we come in at number 9.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
He is going to get inside the bar. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Number 9.
All right, let's jump in. This is January 9th, 2022. The Las Vegas Raiders 35, the Los Angeles Chargers 32. The Silver and Black return to the playoffs for the first time as the Las Vegas Raiders in one of the most dramatic games to end a season in NFL history. The Las Vegas Raiders have excelled in the last quarter of the game several times that season. The term last quarter doesn't necessarily reflect the fourth quarter, though. The last quarter for the Raiders season had gone beyond the fourth quarter. And when they had a play past the fourth quarter, in those couple of occasions here, that put them in a really good spot for the Raiders as finishers. When they had to play into the fourth quarter, into the last quarter, and into overtime. But the Silver and Black had multiple minutes in the game, to their credit, where they didn't surrender in that game. Justin Herbert and the Bolts rallied behind from a 15-point deficit to tie the game at the end of regulation. On the last drive of the fourth quarter, the Chargers offense converted on 3 fourth downs to drive the ball down the field 78 yards. I was sitting in the lower bowl. It was one of the great performances I've seen from a quarterback in regards to Justin Herbert and how he was making throws with the season on the line. The drive was capped off with the 12-yard touchdown catch to Mike Williams as the clock hit triple zero. A good extra point attempt tied it up. And if you look at what was happening at that point in time, there were so many fourth downs, so many opportunities to get them off the field. As Max Crosby said, we were just stressed out after the game in a chuckle. The guys were cramping up, they were hurting, and we just had to make a play to end the game, to end the day. But as Max said, they had to dive very deep. The game would end up going into the last quarter, into overtime. The legs of Josh Jacobs fueled the Raiders in that overtime period. Of his 132 rushing yards against the Chargers, 69 came in the overtime period. I repeat, 69 in overtime. Coming into that season finale, Jacobs was suffering from a rib injury that had him listed as questionable. Yet there was nothing questionable about the way Josh played in that game and how he wanted to end the regular season. They were going to get everything out of me, Jacobs said, quote. So just how it played out, it was amazing for real in overtime. The Chargers would respond to Daniel Carlson's made field goal with one of their own that tied the game back with 4:35 remaining. Now let me stop there for a second. As I was getting ready for the post-game show and how the game would end, I was looking at the clock, and I knew the scenario. It involved three teams, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was the final game of the year. The entire country was watching. The ball was once again put in the hands of Jacobs to finish off the Chargers. The last play came. Once again, it came down to Daniel Carlson and the pressure of a last-second situation, and it was a daunting kick. He already been under pressure so many times throughout the course of the year, and he now had to step up to make the biggest kick in the young history of the Las Vegas Raiders. It was his fifth field goal made of the game and his fifth game-winning field goal of the season. The Raiders completed their season undefeated in games that had come down to two touchdowns and were ready to see what happened next as they entered the playoffs. With the Raiders winning seven games that season by less than a touchdown, that was the way to put the icing on the cake and end the Chargers' year. Renfro's demeanor never changed. Yes, Hunter Renfro, as it came down to a close finish. The Raiders' commitment to pulling out that tight finish and deciding to end it that way, they were not going to play for a tie, even though other people, including the analyst of the game, thought they were going to do that. It had been a theme of the team the entire season. They now racked up 10 wins and the fifth seed in the AFC. And without those four overtime wins that season, including the latest one against the Chargers, it wouldn't have been possible. Taking a look at the highlights of the game, at that time, Derek Carr, quarterback of the Raiders, finding Renfro to go up 10-0.
What is it?
Second and nine, play action to the end zone. Carr, touchdown, Hunter Renfro. Renfro beats Michael Davis, a touchdown, and Renfro's 100th catch of the season.
Yeah, what a year he had, and that was a big game, too, because you knew you could count on him as a receiver who could make a big play in a big game, and that was the biggest game of the year up until that point for the Silver and Black. Josh Jacobs on the ground in late in the second quarter. This is a one-yard touchdown.
Jacobs is the back. Give it to him, and he will work his way into the end zone as the Raiders retake the lead. What a turn of events.
Yeah, what a turn of events there heading into halftime. We go to the fourth quarter in this game where Hunter Renfro was also the key as the Raiders and Derek Carr expanded on the lead.
And the Raiders get in. Extend the advantage, and it is caught. Renfro for the touchdown.
That was a special throw there by Carter Renfro. They were really on the page that year, but the late heroics of Justin Herbert in the fourth quarter as he went the length of the field. Again, it reminded me of a John Elway, just the arm, the speed of the ball as it carried down the field. I mean, Herbert was one hell of a player in that game. And, you know, a lot of people criticize Herbert. They wonder if he can win or not. You know, there's been a lot of injuries, and there were games last year where Justin Herbert didn't step up and play at a very high level. But Herbert in that game, right in front of me, I mean literally in front of me in the lower bowl, I saw him raining down bullets into the end zone. This is the one that tied it up.
Herbert firing, and it is going to be caught in the end zone by the big body Mike Williams. Insanity. This is just insane. Tyler Long puts it down, and we are going to overtime.
Yeah, you could hear Chris Collinsworth laughing in the background with Al Michaels to see that game go into overtime. And then Daniel Carlson came out. This was about as wild of a football game as I've ever been, and I've been over 23, 24 Super Bowls, playoff games. Been fortunate to see a lot of big games in my career, but this one was just special on how it ended on the foot of Daniel Carlson.
And he's going to take it to the 29, and now they're going to be set up for a field goal attempt by Carlson. Snap good, hold good, and Raiders in, Chargers out, Steelers in.
Final call on NBC. So this was one of the games, and as you can kind of figure out, this is number 9, Raiders' greatest games all time, according to our show here on Raider Nation Radio. I wanted to make sure we got a modern game in. Okay, I wanted to make sure that we got a modern game in, because we're not going to do this where there's going to be no games involving Las Vegas. This game stands the test of time. I don't think you'll ever see a game in your lifetime that will come down to overtime, the final kick. And if the Raiders don't win and the Chargers go and Pittsburgh's out and the Raiders are out, Pittsburgh gets in, the Raiders get in, the Chargers are out. It's an AFC West division rivalry game that comes out. When the league puts together a schedule, they dream of this scenario where it's the final game of the year, it's on national television, the last game of the year, and there's a playoff spot on the line. Well, this delivered for NBC, which is the number one rated television show in America, and it turned out to be an incredible game. So with all that said, I know you were there for that game. If you have a memory of that game, let me know about it, 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. I have that rated as the 9th greatest Raider game of all time. And again, some people are not going to agree. I know you're guessing what's going to be ahead of that. There were some other games that were more important maybe to you because there were playoff victories deeper in the playoffs. But with everything that we're considering as we put this summer series together, this one to me was obvious. It was a can't miss. I was either going to put it at number 10 or number 9. We got it in here at number 9. And where were you at that game? What is your memory of that game? You know, for me, it was Justin Herbert, believe it or not, because Josh Jacobs had a great game. But Herbert, the throws that he made in that fourth quarter on fourth down were those of legend. And he lost the game. And the reason why I bring this up, everybody, is you don't see quarterbacks making plays like that in the fourth quarter at that level. I mean, he was just different. He was locked in. Normally, when they make plays like that in the fourth quarter to tie it up, they win the game. That's what makes these quarterbacks legends. And Justin Herbert didn't win the game. And I remember vividly the celebration after the game, the post-game show, knowing that the Raiders were going to go to the playoffs, be the 5 seed, and really have an opportunity to do something special. They didn't. They lose in Cincinnati. They had first and goal at the 9, couldn't get it in, and that ended the Raider season. But that regular season game, I believe, is one of the greatest Raider games of all time. Love your opinion on that, 702-365-9200. Also, Antonio Pierce spoke. If you missed that, we'll have some cut-ups on that, but this is the job that we're doing today. We wanted to get this game in here and get your opinion on it. I just can't have my opinion. We have to have the opinion of the people who are alive at the time, were at the game, watched the game, and can add to what we're talking about. So when we come back, we'll dive into this game, see if you agree with me or not. Where do you rank that as one of the most important games in your life? Because I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that again. It was so bleeping unique that we will never see something like that over time to get to the playoffs, to eliminate a rival, to win the way they won in overtime. How could that possibly happen again in our lifetime? We got a lot of other games coming up that have fancy names. Also, I don't think this game has a name. It feels like it should. I don't know. Am I missing it? Was there a name to this game? Because a lot of the other games that I have coming up here have names that you're very familiar with. But this one doesn't, and I think it's worthy of its own name if you have an idea for that. 702-365-9200, or get it on X Twitter, at JT the Brick. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by talking about this game and more from Antonio Pierce. Q is here with me. He's going to come on next, as he was at the press conference over in Costa Mesa, about 2 traffic lights from where I'm sitting. and Antonio Pierce got a chance to address the media. We are brought to you by our great friends at M Resort Spa and Casino, the official hotel of the Silver and Black, as we're on the road for the next couple of weeks with the flagship station of the Raiders.
Where it was when we left spring. We got some more practices to go at it, to be honest with you. You know, this, I don't think it's fair to do it. I mean, the offseason, there's not pads on. I mean, O-line, D-line, you know, the way that's working out with protection, it's different when we get the pads on. You get a better feel for it overall. And then also guys just getting to the system right away, you know, in the spring, learning it. So there could be some days where, you know, Aiden looked better than Gardner. There's some days Gardner, and then there's some days they both look bad. Some days they both look good, to be honest. So I think, you know, it'll take its course while we're here in Southern California.
That's Antonio Pierce from earlier today, and I thought his press conference went well. They're all supposed to be good. I'm seeing highlights from Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay and some of the other coaches, Dennis Allen, around the league. As camps are opening up today pretty much around the league, rookies reporting earlier, Raiders will be out there at practice tomorrow, so they made the coach available today. And we'll see what Antonio Pierce thinks and how quickly we get some answers here today, because, you know, a lot of the media, and they do a great job, we have a lot of the insiders that you're familiar with out there today asking questions about the quarterback controversy, or competition, excuse me, not a controversy yet, but the competition, because all of those insiders have to blog, they have to do podcasts, they have to do radio shows, and they need content. And the big content's going to be, what is happening at the quarterback position? Not much today, but I think that could change. And probably more by next week when we got a couple of practices and the ability to ask Antonio Pierce directly, and I'm sure we'll get him, on what's he seen so far. And that'll be interesting because we're not going to see everything. The media is not going to see every portion of that practice. And there could be some events that happen, you know, when the media is not in attendance, where a quarterback makes a big play or a big throw or a good decision that only Antonio Pierce knows about and the players know about. And how are we going to get that information out to you? That's all something that we work on all the time. We just gave you the ninth greatest Raider game of all time. We want to hear from you. Or do you believe that that should get into the top 10? If you don't, I understand. This list isn't perfect. But for me, I wanted to make sure that we had a modern game. Yesterday at number 10, we had Al Davis's first ever victory. I thought Bobby framed it unbelievable with sound. And we look back at the career of Al Davis. And what was unique about it, if Al Davis didn't have that amazing first year as a head coach, would he have turned out to be Al Davis with the Raiders? Because if Al Davis was a coach and the first year they won one game, then they won two games, and then that massive turnaround by Al Davis to get the double-digit wins, that enabled Mr. Davis to build as a head coach, to become the general partner, to become a commissioner in the league, and become the Maverick. Well, if he didn't win as the coach of the Raiders and would have got fired 2 years later and ended up with the Chargers or in Denver, or he could have been in Detroit or another franchise, then he's Al Davis, but not with the Raiders. So we thought we framed that properly. This game that we mentioned, it meant so much to me because it was a great game. It checked the box. In significance to Raider history, because they didn't go on and win a playoff game, you can question that and say, well, JT, how significant is that game when they didn't go on to win even one playoff game? No, it was very significant because we're trying to build a brand in Vegas. We're trying to entertain people with great football at Allegiant Stadium. Football's based on drama and great moments, and that was a great moment that stands the test of time. That game, if it was played in L.A. or Oakland or Vegas or anywhere else, stands the test of time. And I think they're going to be talking about that game long after we're all here on this planet. Because every Sunday night football game from here on out, the rest of our lives to end the season, I doubt it's going to compare to that one. 702-365-9200 is our call-in number if you want to get in on that game. Here's Rod in Sacramento. Rod, what's happening? Jump on in. What do you got?
JT, I was at that game, you know, 25 years in Oakland, seeing over 250 games. There was quite a few big games there, you know, like Kansas City game in 97 was the loudest game I think I've ever been at in Oakland. the week before, we had given our tickets to that game to our kids, mm-hmm. to take their friends with them, and we were just going to watch at home. And I turned to my wife when we won the week before. I said, hey, this next game's for the playoffs. So we drove down, got tickets, and I'll tell you, of all the games in Oakland, that was that game in Vegas was the most intense, and it mm-hmm. felt better than Oakland. I mean, I love Oakland, but that game was so intense. It was the crowd was giving it up on every fourth down. It was so loud, and it was. And then he was beating us on those fourth down, and then for us mm-hmm. to come back and win that game was, you know, Vegas has been a lot of fun. We come to all the games in Vegas. It has been a very enjoyable transition. Love it. That game was silver and black. It was blacked out, and it by far is one of the best games of all I've attended in 20 years.
And Rod, tell you if you agree with me on that. Everything you said, very accurate, but the fact that we all knew it eliminated the Chargers from the postseason, and the Chargers had a very good team, arguably better than the Raiders because of the quarterback at the time. And if the Chargers would have gotten into the playoffs with the similar seed as the Raiders, they could have went on a run. They could have been a wild card team. I'm not saying they could have won the Super Bowl, but the L.A. Chargers could have won a playoff game or multiple playoff games, and that dream came to an end. And I saw those players after the game for the Chargers. They were devastated, especially their owner, Dean Spanos, at the time. They were so close with a heroic comeback and came up short in dramatic fashion.
Well, you know that every AFC playoff game, I mean, every AFC West game is a rival and has been a rival with Oakland going back to Balboa Field in San Diego. Mm. It's been with Kurt Gowdy saying, welcome to San Diego, Balboa Field, and we hate all of the West. And so that's what made that game even better. And,
thanks for the call. Really appreciate you participating in this. Remember, the Raiders completed their season undefeated in games that had come down. And this is very important when you look at these numbers. I looked at the notes of this game. Games that came down to the last quarter, 4-0 record in overtime games. When is that going to happen again? You never want to see a team, you know, be in a situation like that. So you're looking at a team that was perfect when it came to overtime in dramatic fashion. And you just wish that momentum would have pushed forward and that momentum would have been significant on how the Raiders. And remember, I remember the season vividly, and that was a very dramatic game because the Raiders go to the playoffs, Rich Bisaccia, what happens there going forward? He had an opportunity to be the head coach. They went in a different direction. But the team and the fans were great. You know, you're not going to get a lot of Charger fans that come to Allegiant Stadium. You're not. But if Jim Harbaugh starts winning, he's going to grow that Charger fan base. And that Charger fan base will buy tickets in Las Vegas. We didn't really have to worry about that in that game. There are Charger fans that come to the games in Vegas, but not a lot. Nothing compared to Kansas City, right, or Denver, or the 49ers, or some of Pittsburgh, or these other teams that come out here for the first time. I mean, wait till you see the Cleveland Browns this year. You know they're coming in full force. But to slow the momentum down of the Chargers, to me, was really important. And Justin Herbert, I remember those throws vividly. He threw a touchdown in the end zone. I think he was at the 24-yard line or the 20, and he faded back to the 27. And my tickets are on the 29-yard line. And I'm looking right at him throw a pass into the end zone. And when it gets into the end zone, two Raider defenders barely could put their hands up. They were right there, and they couldn't even deflect the ball. Imagine if you see a football coming, and you're in the end zone as a defensive back, and all you got to do is move your hand 2 feet to knock it down. They couldn't do that. He was throwing rocket ships in that game. But the difference was Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs had a big game, and he was the difference in that game because he was able to break tackles and pick up extra yardage as the clock was running in that game. And I didn't know the legs of Josh Jacobs in that overtime. Of his 132 yards rushing, against the Chargers. 69 came in overtime. And other than a walk-off touchdown of 80, 90 yards, that's incredible to have that many rushing yards in an overtime. Because a lot of times in the overtime, you're making a pass. You're throwing the ball. You're doing something big. And that was ball control, and the clock was ticking. Oh, my God, was that clock ticking along the way. 702-365-9200 if you want to get in on that game and all the sound bites and your big memories of that. If you joined us late, I always look at this as 2 one-hour radio shows. Antonio Pierce spoke to the media a little while ago from the podium in Costa Mesa, and he talked about some of the positives he's seen this offseason, and now he's building the team in his own vision.
Yeah, just to how comfortable they are with the system now. Year three with Patrick Graham, the communication, the continuity, the ability to play with one another, feel one another. I mean, it was a really, really good spring for our defense. They were gelling well. Add Christian in there, it was like he was with us the last couple of years. So they got to keep picking it up. It is the strength of our team. I mean, there's no need to lie about it. I mean, they're really good, and they got to be good this year.
Yeah, as Antonio Pierce gave you that nugget right at the end, they have to be good this year. The strength of this team is the defense, and the defense has to play at a very high level all the time, all the time, even in games where they're playing inferior teams, and there's not many. Most of the games the Raiders are going to be underdogs, but the defense will have the ability to dominate some of these games where maybe there won't be as much pressure on the offensive side of the football. Antonio Pierce from Costa Mesa talking about the excitement coming into the first training camp out here.
Yeah, I just think it's time. Our guys are eager. You know, there's a lot of burn and desire in our players that want to just get out there and play. You know, we got a couple days here where we can't do it, so we got to slow them down a little bit. But come next Tuesday, it's full throttle. We'll scrimmage. We'll go live. We'll tackle. We'll do all the good stuff to really get some competition to get a good feel for our team.
Yeah, I love what he said there. We're going to have the competition. The times, because they're not having the practices, the joint practices with other teams, when they go live in pads, it's going to be everything. That could be as intense as it's going to be in a preseason game if starters aren't playing a lot. And he talked about the starters that are going to play. One more on the mindset of this camp. So Antonio Pierce, I believe, is a player's coach. He listened to the players. He's a former player at a very high level. He wants this mindset to be very high and focused coming into this great facility that we're going to see in Costa Mesa.
Along those lines, what's the message to the team that you send on the way, you know, arriving here, knowing that you've been there, done that a bunch of times as a player?
I haven't told them that yet, so we'll discuss that this afternoon. But the key thing is, you know, when you go to training camp and you go away, it's the brotherhood. You know, it's us against the world. The good thing about it, we can't have fans here, right? So it's we're going to have to entertain one another. And sometimes that's a good thing. You know, when you're in training camp at home, you get to run to mom and dad and the family and the kids and the wife. Well, when they get to that hotel, it's each other. It's one another. So same thing for the coaches. I think it's going to be really critical for our team to become the tightest unit possible. It's all peaches and cream right now, right? Sun's bright. There's going to be some dark moments and some dark days. And we're going to have to be ready to go through some adversity together.
You know, I told you about that initially when I found out that the team was coming to Costa Mesa, and I didn't know all the details about it. The one thing that I knew would be good about this, other than the weather, we know the weather would be better than Vegas. Vegas has been scorching, unbelievably scorching, was that when you take these players with the amount of money that they make so young into the league, you know, some of the greatest players to ever play for the Raiders, the Hall of Famers, did make a lot of money. And they had to play their ass off in training camp in the preseason because that was part of their commitment and their job. It was a completely different era. But if you tell a player now that they could go home after practice, a veteran, and go back to their estate with their swimming pool and maybe their live-in chef and the kids running around with their iPads and kids jumping in the pool and a chipping green in the backyard to practice chipping and putting, that's not training camp. It's not. So for those who are wondering what's going on here, the focus to get away and be in a controlled environment with coaches who have been around this league, I mean, the combined ages of these coaches, how many games they coach, if you just look at, just think of Rob Ryan, Joe Philbin, Marvin Lewis. Those are just three. And how many training camps they've been in charge of, or at least on their side of the ball. You're going to have a lot of veterans around these players, these young players. You know, Max Crosby's a veteran, but it's not like he's an aging veteran. He hasn't been in the league that long. So I love the fact that they're going to get together out here and have time to bond. And you're going to hear that a lot coming up from me. 702-365-9200. When we come back, we'll get to some of the remainder of the sound. When we're here on the other side, I'll take a look at and tease ahead to what our next game will be tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll be in a different location. Thanks to Q for getting out here early and setting us up. And tomorrow it'll be unique. And I'm excited to do it outside in the weather in this great environment here. Let's hear from some fans who can look back on that game. Raiders 35, Chargers 32. January 9th, 2022, the game that eliminated the Chargers here on the flagship of the Raiders.
And he's going to take it to the 29, and now they're going to be set up for a field goal attempt by Carlson. Snap good, hold good, and Raiders in. Chargers out, Steelers in.
Yeah, did you hear what Al Michaels said on that final call? Raiders in, Steelers in, Chargers out. JT, Q's coming up next as we're both live here. Vinny Bonsignore also in Costa Mesa to kick off Raiders training camp. The only thing today was Antonio Pierce speaking. If you want to react to his comments, if you didn't hear it, Q asked a lot of questions. He's coming up next. It was a good, spirited first, I thought, introduction to what he's trying to do as the head coach of the Silver and Black. We're counting down to the top 10 games of all time. And coming up next, there's some big ones. So this was a game that I wanted to get in. There were a lot of honorable mentions. You know, when we started looking at the honorable mentions here and what we wanted to include along the way, we had a little bit of a debate on this game. The Charger game and the Chargers getting eliminated was important because I wanted to make sure we had at least one modern game. And yesterday, we had the Rich Gannon AFC Championship game. Now, was that game more important than the game that we talked about today? Of course it was. It was an AFC Championship game against Tennessee with Metallica playing in the backyard of the Raiders there at the Coliseum. But this game was just too important, and I wanted to get it in here, and we put it ahead of that. So far, the three games that we have were really important games, and they're all different. And going forward, I think you're really going to sink your teeth into some of the bigger name games that are coming up. I got a couple of more bites of Antonio Pierce in a few more moments here. The other thing about that victory on the last game of the year is the impact that Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow had and Josh Jacobs. Those are three former Raiders, once a Raider, always a Raider, who are no longer with the team. So if you look at Derek Carr, who had 9 years with the Raiders, didn't win a playoff game, but had a hell of a career, statistically ahead of all other Raider quarterbacks by a lot when it comes to touchdowns and yards and all the records he's had. Josh Jacobs played himself into being, you know, a top five Raider running back in Raiders history. I don't think there's an issue there. And then Hunter Renfrow, who was looking like he was going to be one of the best slot receivers in all of football at the end of his run with the Raiders, getting concussed, getting banged up, being hurt. You know, there were a couple of factors that led to him being gone from this team here, but a very good player, just like Darren Waller was a very good player with this team. A couple of other news and notes from around the league. Matthew Stafford reports to Rams camp after his contract adjustment. So we're seeing Jordan Love not going to practice because he wants a contract adjustment. And now I'm seeing the headline today that Stafford reported to camp and the word adjustment again. Stafford was due $31 million base salary this season on a four-year $160 million deal that he signed with the Rams in 2002. So while he has 3 years remaining on the contract, the upcoming season was set to be the final one with this guaranteed salary. So Sean McVay declined to get into the specifics of the contract, but said it was not an extension. Wow. McVay said, quote, "There's a lot of great dialogue between all sides here and ultimately geared towards finding a solution that really suits our team but also accommodates Matthew, some of the big things that he needs, that he represents for us." So what is it? Why am I bringing this up? Because I'm in Southern California. That's where the Rams are based. Here's a quarterback on the back end of his prime, but played really well at times last year, has won a Super Bowl, is helping build this brand for one of the richest owners in all of professional sports in Stan Kroenke. And he wants to continue to be paid significant guaranteed money. So when it comes to this, he first went to the Rams in March with the request for a contract adjustment. Then he says there was an uptick in urgency. And in the last week, and particularly the last 12 hours, there was an ability to feel like they were working towards something and a common goal. And he's going to get what he deserves here. Raider 66, wrap it up for us on our first day in Costa Mesa. What's happening?
Hey, JT, hope you're enjoying the cooler weather out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just real quick, this game that you've got here is like the quintessential one. It kind of checks all the boxes. It was a great game back and forth. And it also showed that the new Raiders in Las Vegas kind of had a little of the old Raiders in them, where they came back from adversity. They had that 15-point lead. They gave it up, and, you know, they could have folded. But no, they went overtime, won the game, and went back to the playoffs for the first time in a couple of years, and we were hoping would be a trend. But it also made history, because I believe that Rich Bisaccia winning that game was the first interim head coach to make the playoffs in NFL history. So that kind of wrapped it all up, and that's what makes the Raiders such an iconic and such an incredible franchise. And I'll tell you, the new fans out there, you are going to love this. I mean, we are on the ascension with AP back here, and I loved his press conference. I loved what he had to say. I was the same as you, JT. The hair stood up a little bit when he said everybody's going to play. We haven't seen that in quite a while, and I think it made the team a little bit soft. I think they're going to be tougher this year and get that old swagger back. Thank you for the time. Have a great day.
Yeah, that's important. I'm sure Q's going to get into it on his show coming up, too, about, you know, being tougher and who's going to play and how much time they're going to play. And look, I don't know how much everybody's going to play. I don't know. No one knows. We can guess. That's why we do a sports talk show. We're guessing and we're debating on who's going to play. But we know that in order for these quarterbacks to play at a high level, they got to get a lot of reps in. And they're not having those dual practices against another opponent that I like a lot. I think that's very important. Now, you could get an injury or two, but last year at this time, I don't remember the exact week, we were up at Rams camp, you know, and Aaron Donald's out there. And Aaron Donald in his final season is out there getting after it. And Max Crosby's getting after it. And the Raiders are going after Stafford, and, you know, they're going after Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy Garoppolo. And the way this played out, you wanted to see competition. By taking out that competition in a dual practice against another team should ramp up everything. Should ramp up everything. Everything should be a little bit more intense. As we pick it up with some of Antonio Pierce's comments from earlier today, and there were some big ones here. He talked about the benefits of this California weather, something that, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on. We all know we're based in Vegas. It's super hot here. It's a little bit less hot here. It could get hot. I mean, if the sun comes out and it's bright and it's intense, you never know what could happen with the weather, but that should make a difference at this camp.
I don't think they talked about it, but we do got a lot of guys from California and Southern California area, so I know they're excited. We'll see what happens when they land here and how they feel with the weather. But when we left, it was 105 or 107? So it was smoking. I think it's 75.3. I'm wearing a hoodie on. It feels nice.
Yeah, it feels nice with a hoodie on. I don't remember the last time I wore a hoodie or anything like that. Also, the health status of Colt Miller, which is a really important topic, because I think this is the year that Colt Miller's got to make that step and become a Pro Bowler. Not looking like he's a Pro Bowler, but actually become a Pro Bowler, and his health is going to be really important over the next couple of months.
I saw him the other day. He looks good. I mean, he's running around. I mean, it's totally different. You know, obviously he had surgery, so we'll see again. Those guys are, you know, getting on the plane. They'll be here shortly, but I really don't have that answer, to be honest.
Yeah, there's great insiders here who are out there every day. Binoculars are not looking. You find the roster. Who's not practicing today? Who's going to be out there practicing today? This is my 27th camp, really 26, 27 years with the team, but 26 camps, because my first year I got hired right before the start of the year to take over the pre- and post-game show. And this year is going to be unique because there's going to be some players that deserve a day off. You want to give Max or Christian Wilkins a day off or a lesser load, I'm all for that. Those are the stars of the team. But the other guys, man, wow. The spirit of this competition is going to be insane. Really is, because there's no way to go into two road games to open up the season against two really good coaches who happen to be brothers who are going to share information. You got to have some type of advantage, and it better be competition. The competition at Raiders training camp better be tougher than the competition at Ravens and the Chargers. I can tell you that. Hey, we're brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, the box combo. Four chicken fingers, the crinkle-cut fries, the cane sauce, the buttery Texas toast, coleslaw, and a 22-ounce fountain drink. My kids get the Caniac combo, which is six chicken fingers. Sometimes they get two. Give them the card, and they're all set up. I love the sandwich combo as we are live, as we kick off our coverage here from beautiful Costa Mesa. Q's coming up next. We thank him for getting us set up today. Thanks to the Raiders for having us out here. Tomorrow should be a really unique day, noon to 2 every day. Try to get you some YouTube coming in also with some side projects that I got going on. And we'll tell you what we see with Q, Vinny, myself out here. We're going to see a lot. We're going to talk to players and coaches and bring it right back to you on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Thanks to Bobby for putting all this together. We appreciate everybody listening and participating. If you miss any portion of the show, lvsportsnetwork.com. We'll see you from the practice field tomorrow, noon to 2, on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.